This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. Coming up this hour, the good, the bad, the dumb, a whole weekend to process what that means for you, so you don't want to miss that. It's coming up. Also, Dave Burkett is going to join us, Detroit Free Press. We're going to talk about the Lions. Now, look, is there a lot to talk about the Lions? Well, not really, but we're previewing every team, so they get their shot just like anybody else. But the Lions are doing something really interesting, and that is they're not only rebuilding, they have no problems admitting that they're rebuilding and telling the fan base, we're rebuilding, so slow down your anticipation of something good. And that's always important for teams to do every now and then. And the Lions are doing it. They tried Matt Stafford. They tried putting a team around Matt Stafford. It just didn't work. So Matt Stafford is getting a new life with the Los Angeles Rams, and in comes Jared Goff, who just a couple of seasons ago led the Rams to a Super Bowl. But starting to wear, you know, like maybe this was just maybe a one-shot deal. It's not really working out. So now he's the guy that's holding that place until the Lions find their quarterback. Now, maybe he does well enough that they feel like they can build a team around him, but that's not where they're going. They want to start fresh. New head coach in Dan Campbell and a new approach to everything. Because what was working, what was going on before just simply wasn't working for the Lions. Now, one of the things that I like about this approach is sometimes teams don't tell you that they're doing that, but you get the feeling that they are. There's always this promise, there's always this feeling like things are coming around, but in the end, they do things that make you go, wow, it looks like they're rebuilding, but they're not. At least the Lions are coming out and admitting this. I mean, think about the Houston Texans for a second. Just a couple of years ago, they had a very nice lead against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. And since that day and since that moment, they haven't been anything. They have gone completely backwards. And now they got a new head coach, and they wanted to get rid of their quarterback, their star quarterback, getting rid of players. You were feeling like, well, maybe we should build to be as good as the team that just beat us in a come-from-behind fashion. But instead, they went the opposite direction. The Lions, no issues with that at all. We are going to start from scratch. We are tearing it down to start again. So if you're patient with this, we might reward you with something cool on the other end. But we do know this, for the next couple of years, we are not going to be very good, but just hang on. And I got to respect that. It's a wake-up call, SportsMap Radio.
Wake-up call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, the dumb. A whole weekend to figure out the good, the bad, the dumb. So what do we got, Ron Culver?
Well, it didn't take the whole weekend to find out the good.
Which was?
The biggest sports story of the weekend. Cristiano Ronaldo's returning home.
Yeah, I saw this. This is a nice science.
Yeah,
it may, story.
You know what, to be honest, it may not be a big deal to all of you, but it was a huge deal to me. Being
sure.
A Man United fan for as long as I have. Cristiano Ronaldo played for the club back in the early 2000s, then left to play for Real Madrid, and then he was over in Italy playing for Juventus. And when it looked like, this is where it became good, because it looked like he was going to end up playing for Manchester City, which is Manchester United's bitter crosstown rival.
Right.
Which is hard to fathom. It's like, you know, the only comparison I can make is, you know, take like a Wade Boggs or Roger Clemens or Johnny Damon leaving New York or leaving Boston to play for the Yankees.
Oh, okay. You know, so just, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, where, you know, Johnny Damon going from the Red Sox to the Yankees just didn't make sense, and it never really felt right.
Yeah, he'd like shave and everything.
Yeah. So that's what it would have felt like. I mean, he took a roundabout way, but then got word on Friday morning that Manchester City pulled out. Manchester United was the front runner, which I didn't even know they were in a running. And lo and behold, Ronaldo's returning home.
So, which is a bigger surprise, the Messi story or this story?
This one, because no one really thought that this one was going to go down. Everyone, you kind of had the feeling that Messi was going to be leaving Barcelona. And then when Barcelona came out and said, yeah, we're not renewing you. You know, we're not giving you another contract. We're pretty much done with you. You knew the writing was on the wall. And then it was just a matter of where is he going to sign. And the fact that he signed with PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, it's not that surprising. They're a really, really strong team. He's playing with a bunch of players that he kind of knew back when he played for Barcelona.
Okay. All right.
Cristiano Ronaldo, you didn't really get the sense that he was going to go anywhere. You thought for sure he was just going to play for Italy one more year or two more years. I can't remember how long his contract is. And it definitely was not on the radar that Manchester United, his former club, was even in the running. They'd already made other transfers and other signings, and the fact that that happened exploded. And I mean, it's a huge transfer fee. It's for a 36-year-old player. You know, I think it's the equivalent of like almost like $30 million.
Wow,
that they're paying to bring him over. But what I imagine happened, I fully believe that this happened, was somebody in the front office went to the Glazers, you know, the same Glazers that owe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and said, hey, do you want to save face with this franchise? Because the fans have been calling for them to sell the team for years.
Right.
And
I do know that for some reason.
I feel like somebody went to them and said, you want to save face with this club, sign him. Doesn't okay. matter how much it is, bring him back. And their stock rose. I mean, they're falling. I mean, Manchester United, I mean, the fans were took to the streets and celebrated.
That's awesome. No, seriously, that is really cool.
So, yeah, it's, you know, hopefully it has a kind of LeBron James-esque play out to it where, you know, when he returned to Cleveland, all he did was bring him to the finals and win a national win a NBA championship. So let's hope that the same thing happens for Cristiano
That's
Ronaldo.
That's awesome. That's great. All right, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. All right, well, then what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, you know, we haven't really mentioned yet, but Hurricane Ida.
Yeah.
Hurricane Ida bared down on New Orleans and all of Louisiana and Mississippi, and it continues to wreak havoc. Eventually, I think some of the storm's going to hit you.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be coming
our
point.
Way. At some point. Yeah. You know, hopefully it's just a lot of rain. That's it. But it looked terrible. It looks pretty bad.
It really does look bad.
Them losing power. You're seeing houses just getting knocked over, roofs blowing off. I mean, you know, we're gonna hear you know, more horror stories before the week's over. But it did bring us kind of a funny thing to it, which is okay. I'm still keeping in the bad, because when you have a natural disaster happening, people prepare and you go and you buy all the food.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
You buy as much bottled water as you can. You buy a lot of canned goods, just stuff that can sustain you for a couple of days, because you know those stores aren't going to be getting any shipments anytime soon because roads are blocked and all that fun stuff. But one thing there is plenty of in the stores of New Orleans and around New Orleans.
Yes.
Anthony Davis's brand of lime and jalapeno ruffles.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
You can walk down the chip aisle. There is not a single chip left except for all the Anthony Davis brand of ruffles.
That is great. They don't want anything to do with that.
Nope. They're still, I think they're still a little bitter.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm going out of limb here. I don't know.
They'd rather not eat during emergency than eat Anthony Davis's brand of potato chips.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I mean, if you're Anthony Davis, you can't return home now, right? We just talked about, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's returning home. LeBron James returned home, as a hero to Cleveland. If Anthony Davis was to return home to the Pelicans, they'd probably go look at him and go, no thanks.
That is hilarious.
So
we're not buying any of that. Can you imagine the kid going, we need food. Like, we're not eating those.
Yeah.
Like, but why not? I don't have to explain it to you, do I? We're not eating those.
We used to buy them all the time, Dad.
We used to get them all the time, yep. Dad.
Not
anymore. I kind of have a craving for it. No, we're not touching those. Oh, God, that's great. That is so great. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I'm sticking with Hurricane Ida. As far as the dumb of the day, because I don't know whose decision it was. I don't know if it was MSNBC or Al Roker.
Because he's down there, right?
Yeah. Why is he reporting from as the storm is approaching?
Yeah. Why do they have Al Roker out in the wind of? And by the way, that is an extremely dangerous job.
Yes.
When the wind is blowing like that, the wind doesn't kill you. What it carries kills you.
Right.
right? Like if it carries something heavy and it's hitting you at 60 miles an hour, that's where you could get really hurt.
Or, I mean, you know, especially where he was. I mean, he was down, like, I think in New Orleans, but more on the water. I mean, they had, like, up to 100-mile-per-hour sustained winds. You know, that stuff's blowing debris all over the place.
Now, I got a
question about him?
Yeah, because I have a question about Al Roker. Because Willard Scott was kind of the same way. They're not really weathermen. Like, they're not meteorologists. They're
right.
Like celebrities, not celebrities, but they're the personality of reporting the weather. Like you know, everybody's got their favorite weatherman on TV, but most of these guys are the science. They're doing the science behind their forecasts, right? They're good on television, but they're also, you know, I worked in my internship in television in Boston. We had a meteorologist. He was deep into that stuff. I mean, he would be on his monitors and everything, and that's what he did. And then he would be on TV, the light would come on, and he would be your friendly neighborhood weather guy. Though as soon as that camera went off, he was back to being scientist guy. But Willard Scott and Al Roker are more like, we're just giving you the weather.
They have a certain celebrity status.
Yeah, there's a celebrity status. Like,
especially
somebody's
Al Roker
doing all the work. They're saying, Al, tell people in Arizona it's going to be 115 degrees, and then tell people in New Hampshire it's going to snow.
Yeah,
that's all he's supposed to do.
You know, let's not take it away from him. Obviously, he knows weather because he's been doing it for as long as he does. But yeah, you're absolutely right. He's not a scientist.
Right. He's not like Jim Cantor of Weather Channel. I feel like is a meteorologist.
Yeah.
Like when he's out there and.
And we
can
talk about Jim Cantor, too. I mean, the wind was so strong, it kind of, you could see him sliding because the ground was so wet. And he had to go down to a knee during that.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, I'm looking, why do we do this? Why do we need someone reporting from the edge of the storm surge? Like, look at these waves behind me. We have the ability to put cameras everywhere now, right?
We don't need you. You know what would be better? Is if you were in front of a green screen with that in the background, pretending like you were there,
yeah.
But you're not really there, getting blown away by the
wind.
You
know, have a big fan off camera,
yeah.
That's just blowing the wind, so it looks like you're being, you know, the wind is blowing your hair as well. It just didn't make any sense. And you know, MSNBC, if it's MSNBC or Al Roker who dictated those terms, I mean, both of them should come under fire. But MSNBC is taking the brunt of this. Like, why are you putting Al Roker
out there? Poor Al Roker.
Come on.
He lost all that weight, too.
He's not as on life. Well, he's not as heavy as he used to be. A good wind can blow him away now.
Exactly. By the way, does this come 16? It came 16 years to the date of Hurricane Katrina?
Just about, yeah. So, I think it was like one day early.
Yeah. Boy, I still remember that.
That doesn't seem like that long ago.
No. When somebody said 16 years, I was like, what?
Yeah, check
and then
it.
I did
yeah.
the math and I was like, oh, it is 16 years, but like, it doesn't feel like that.
I was like, really? 2005?
Yeah. God. I remember this because what prompted it for me was the story that the Saints had left town and now they're practicing in Dallas. So they're like working out at AT&T Stadium. That's where they're practicing to gear up because they open the season against Green Bay at the Superdome, you know, if they can do that.
Yep.
But they're in Dallas, and I was reminded of the year the Saints were practicing in parking lots to get ready for their season.
Yeah,
when they were the vagabond team that didn't have a home.
I can tell you this much. I'm not 100% sure, but there is a lot of buses across the street.
Mm-hmm.
From where I am sitting right now at the DoubleTree Hotel across the street,
people coming in from.
Well, I don't know that, but I mean they're like athletic buses, like you know, I it could be LSU.
Yeah, probably it might maybe
because
Oklahoma is scheduled to play Tulane to open up the season in New Orleans.
Yeah,
like it's a road game for Oklahoma. Now Oklahoma's president or athletic director issued a statement that said, as of right now, and this was over the weekend, he said, so as of right now, so I think he launched it on Saturday or Sunday, the plan is to still play there, but we have contingency plans in place because we don't know. Like, so we're going to play them, but Tulane is out. The entire football team left. So they don't know if they're going to be able to return to New Orleans to play this weekend. So they've got plans to play the game somewhere else if they can't. But that's been a big story, too.
Yeah,
is the game actually going to take place in New Orleans?
And that's kind of what's happened here. I think Energy Stadium has opened up their doors to LSU.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, you know, use us as a home for right now.
Absolutely. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Lions are on the clock. We'll talk about them coming up later on in the show as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Detroit Lions are on the clock this hour as we will preview them, part of our week of NFC North teams. The Lions, again, rebuilding. Dan Campbell is in, replacing Matt Patricia. They've also got a new general manager in Brad Holmes. They've got Jared Goff in a pickup that they got for the trade with Matt Stafford. They also acquired a few picks in exchange, getting Jared Goff in. Now, remember, this is a team that did pass up Justin Fields. So they did go in another direction with their first-round draft pick, rather than taking a quarterback of the future. So maybe, just maybe, they want Goff to last a few years, right? They're not just, maybe, you know, my earlier statement of him just holding the place might be true to an extent, but it might be a place that they want him to fill for a while they build a team. So whatever franchise quarterback they do bring in is coming into a team that's got some weapons. Breshad Perriman, they just released, what was that, today? This morning? They just released him. They signed him to a one-year deal, and he's already gone. Like, they're not done messing around here, right? I mean, Galloway, they balked at his initial offer. He wanted a contract. They said, nah, we're all good with that. You're gone. And he's now with the Giants. So there's, you know, so they're building, again, they're building a team slowly but surely. They're trying to do it. But we'll preview them later on. We got to get to the Mets, because the Mets are booing, the fans are booing the Mets. And then the Mets are just like, screw it, we'll just boo right back. Javier Baez thumbs down to the fans that were booing him.
God, I love this team.
And everybody is like, this is so, listen, can I just tell everybody in baseball land, especially, slow down, calm down, okay? Like, they're giving it back as the Mets fans are giving it to him, and he's giving it back. I sort of don't expect any other thing, really, reaction. Right? The Mets are really, really, really disappointing. They went from first place in the division, had a couple of game lead. They've gone 9-20. They're terrible. Absolutely terrible. And you know what? Some of these guys deserve to be booed. Baez is batting like two and change, I think, since arriving with the club. Since the 207, to be exact. He's got only 3 home runs in 16 games, only driving in 5 RBIs in the 16 games. Yes, he's getting booed. Of course he's getting booed. The team is losing and they stink. They're 9-20 over their last 29 games. They went from first to third and they're out of the playoff picture. So fans can boo, but if you're a player, you can't boo back, right? You can't respond back. It's like if you work in a restaurant or retail or whatever, and customer gives you starts going all Karen on you, you can't Karen back. Same thing in baseball. Sandy Alderson, who's the Mets president, he came out immediately. These comments and any gestures by him or other players with similar intent are totally unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Okay, tell me what you're going to do, right? What are you going to do? One of the players that's also getting booed is Francisco Lindor. Now, he's been booed all year because he was slow to the start and whatnot. But it's really Baez that they're after because he was dumbing down the fans. But I think it's pretty cool, to be honest. I think it's a pretty fun story. I think, look, the Mets, should the Mets be doing this to the fans? No. They should be, because here's the problem. When you're a fan and you're consuming the product, it's different, right? It's, you know, think about something you like Starbucks coffee or the pizza joint down the road or, you know, whatever it is. Somebody makes great chocolate chip cookies in your hometown or whatever it is. I mean, think about the level of passion you have for that product. Now think about your sports team. Who creates a product that you consume? It doesn't matter if it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever. Whatever your favorite team is, whatever your favorite sport is, think about the level of passion that you have for that particular thing. And then try to compare it to anything else in your life that you love, right? I'll give you an example. I love the Steelers, okay? I love the Steelers. I've been a fan since I was 6 years old. I have put up with some really lousy years. I continue to put up with a team that, you know, struggles at times and drives me crazy at times, that I lose my mind with at times, that I want to fire everybody at times. But like, I like going to amusement parks. I like Disney World, for example. I don't love that more than I love the Steelers, right? Like it's a different passion, right? The Mets fans, Mets fans are giving their booing because they care so much about the product that these players are putting out, right? They care about winning. They care about the product. For the Mets players, Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor and other players, Kevin Pillar, I think, that also did the thumbs down. When they do that, they're insulting the fan base that is saying, why can't you care about this like we care about this? That's the way the fans are receiving the message, right? Like, if you're booing us for booing you, do you even understand why we're booing you? Now, Baez says he does, because Baez says, look, we're going to struggle 7 out of 10 times. It just feels bad when I strike out and get booed. It really doesn't get me, but I want to let them know that when we're successful, we're going to do the same thing to let them know how it feels. But the fans want to know that you care. They're not booing you because they dislike you. They're booing you because they don't like what you're doing now. They want you to be better because you being better helps them enjoy what you're doing more. Right now, they don't enjoy what you're doing more. And this isn't a take or to leave it. Like if you go again, if you take your wife out to a restaurant and you have a terrible experience, you just don't go to the restaurant again. Sports doesn't work that way. If you go to a ball game, if you go to Citi Field to watch a ball game as a diehard Mets fan and they stink, you don't go, well, I guess I'll be a Yankee fan now. Or maybe I'll just look through the standings and find out who's winning and maybe I'll just be a fan of them. No, you say, can you be better at this the next time I come, please? The next time I watch you, can you be better than what you're doing right now? Think about that in any other business. You don't do that with any other business. We don't usually love businesses that much that we care about them being successful. Seriously, go to a restaurant where you get lousy service and lousy food and then tell the cook and the manager, oh man, please, can you just be better? Please be better the next time we're going to keep coming. We're going to keep coming every single day until you get those meatballs right. We're going to come every day until the waiter knows to bring the salad first before the entree. Please, please, please make sure you get that right. When do we do that in any other business? When do you go to the coffee shop after 6 failed caramel mocha lattes where you go, please, 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 can you use just enough creamer? Please, I'll come back tomorrow. Please use more of this. I mean, please. You don't. You just go, hey, you and I, this is where we part company. I've come here 6 times. Every time I order this coffee, you fail to get it right. This is where we're done. You no longer get my money. Fans don't do this. Fans keep coming and they go, you do your job. And I'm going to keep coming every day until you do your job. When you boo that, you're going right after the fans' passion. Remember, what is the opposite? Remember, this is a simple question because many of you know this. Fan teams, okay? Teams get in trouble for one emotion. They don't get they don't worry about when you love the team. They don't worry when you get angry about the team. What is the one thing they can't have? You being apathetic to the team. They can't live like that. They cannot operate like that. So Mets fans are saying to management and Steve Cohen, we still love you. We just want you to be better. And the Mets players are saying to the fan base, we mock that. We mock that by putting their thumbs down. That's why Alderson was pissed. That's why the management of the Mets needs to do something about it. All right. As we continue along, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Lions are on the clock as we continue with our previews next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Dave Burkett joins us, Detroit Free Press. Continue our NFL previews. We are in the NFC North this week. Let's start with the Detroit Lions. How are you, Dave?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. All right, let's go right to the crux of the matter as far as Dan Campbell. We actually like him on the show. We like his quotes, but you're closer to what's going on with them on a daily basis. What about him? What's your impression of him as he begins his journey as a head coach of the NFL?
Oh, we like him too here in Detroit. he's been great for us to cover. Not just because of the colorful quotes, but I mean, I think you can appreciate the honesty, the passion, that sort of thing. That really we haven't had around here in a long time. I think that goes not just for us covering it, but fans, you know, people inside the building, that sort of thing too. He's a very genuine guy, and I don't know that the Lions are going to win a lot of games this year, but I do think there's a lot of buy-in in the locker room, and so that could portend well for the future.
All right, so people are looking at the Lions and saying, all right, they're stripping it down and rebuilding it. How much of that is true? How much of that is a little bit of exaggeration? Where exactly is this team going internally as they head to 2021?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a rough year for them. I mean, you look at sort of the roster and what they have right now. I mean, there are a lot of holes on this team offensively. They don't look anything like they have the past couple seasons, and it's not like they were great offensively the past couple seasons, but I do think points will be fairly hard for them to come by. I think there are some promising young players on both sides of the ball in the pipeline. Obviously, there's a couple good offensive linemen, an area the Lions have really invested in, and that can help turn a team around quickly. They don't have any big blue chip type players on defense, big time playmakers, and so maybe that's going to hold them back defensively a little bit. Really, you look ahead, and they've got a couple first round picks coming up in each of the next two drafts. There's an opportunity for this team as they strip down and take a step back to really end up taking a step forward, especially if, and this can't be discounted, you know, this is Aaron Rodgers' last year in the division.
Yeah. Even though this is more of a preview, I do want to kind of review, if you will. We'll get to Jared Goff in a second. But Matt Stafford, after 12 years with the organization, 3 postseasons, no wins, a lot of it may be on the organization, a lot of it may be on him. But why didn't it work? Was there an underlying factor after 12 years that they just couldn't find that level of postseason success with him at quarterback?
No, I mean, you're right. It's sort of all-encompassing, right? He deserves blame. I mean, as the quarterback, there's no one more important on the field. Certainly the organization for not always putting the right people around him. I think a lot of Lions fans, when the move happened, were sort of shook up by it. But I think most people agree now with the tact that I and a lot of others, you know, sort of observers of this team, you know, took right away was that it was the right move. It had to be done. I mean, the Lions had sort of gone as far as they could with Matthew Stafford, given the state of the roster, given, his contractual state, and he was going to need a new deal here before long, and his age and his health history. It was the right thing to give him a fresh start and for this team to start anew at that quarterback position. So he deserves some of the blame, but he's a really talented quarterback. I think he could have some success in L.A., and just being in a better situation might help him.
And Jared Goff, what do they view him as? Some people have been saying, well, he's going to hold that position until they find their franchise quarterback, but could he be their franchise quarterback in the next 4 or 5 years?
You know, I have a hard time seeing it myself. Just, you know, after watching Matthew Stafford throw passes for 10 years here in camp and practice, and you kind of see what he did with the ball and how this offense operated, and then you watch how the Lions sort of, you know, maneuver with Jared Goff at quarterback this summer. It's not close, frankly. Matthew was, you know, he would squeeze some passes into tight windows, and Jared seems much more risk adverse. And like I said, it's going to be a little different. I wouldn't give up on Jared. I think the Lions, you know, that's part of the reason why he was attractive to them in that trade was that, hey, this is a guy that, you know, he's 26 years old. He played in the Super Bowl. You know, you certainly can do a lot worse than him in the NFL, right? He's won a lot of games, but I think in the NFL, if you don't have a star quarterback, you're always looking for one. And the Lions, with presumably a high draft pick in 2022 and a couple first rounders. And, you know, that's going to be the case for the next couple of years. I just have a hard time seeing them coming out of a season like this. We all think this is going to be, and saying, hey, that Jared Goff is our quarterback. We won five games. That's the guy that we're going to ride with.
With losses of Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, now that Breshad Perriman has now been cut, where is his options as wide receiver? What does the wide receiving core look like?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's part of the evaluation with Jared Goff too, right? If you're trying to figure out what Jared can do and you don't surround him with much talent at the wide receiver core, I don't know how he's going to be able to excel. I mean, TJ Hockenson, obviously a very good tight end. If he stays healthy, he's going to lead this team in catches and yards and touchdowns and everything. But they don't have much outside of him. I think it's going to be him, and it's going to be those running backs that catch a lot of passes. And the receiving core, they released Breshad Perriman today, one of their top free agent signings. Didn't come as a surprise given the camp that he's had. But you're looking at Tyrell Williams, Khalif Raymond, who has about 20 catches in his career as the number two receiver. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, a rookie, is the number three receiver. So this receiving core leaves a lot to be desired. And I do think you'll see a move here in the coming days on the waiver wire or via trade.
All right, let's get to the defense, because that was one of the reasons, like, Matt Patricia was good, was kind of working with – but what did he leave the cupboard bare? Is there building blocks in place for the organization to work with?
Well, there are some building blocks. I mean, Jeff Okuda, their first-round pick last year, certainly a talented cornerback. I think Tracy Walker, a safety, you know, in the last year of his contract, they have a very young secondary, and I think both of those guys – you know, they could be fixtures there for quite some time. Up front in the pass rush department, Romeo Okwara is a guy that probably a lot of people around the league, just casual observers, don't know about. But he's coming off a 10-sack season, and he's had a pretty good summer here. So there are some pieces. You know, they haven't created a lot of turnovers in the past. The defense players will tell you, you know, that it was confusing. They were confused. There was just too much on their plates. And I think one thing the new staff has done is really simplify things in hopes of maybe allowing these guys to play faster and get more out of them.
Let's go back to the overall picture of building and moving forward, right? Just breaking it down and then building it up with a new coach, new general manager. And it's early, so obviously the proof is going to be later down the road. But is there a feeling in Detroit and feeling with the fans that the team is in good hands?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they haven't won a game yet, right?
So right.
We'll see how quickly they haven't played a game yet or lost a game, you know, so we'll see how quickly the honeymoon, you know, wears off. But I think, you know, like I said, people were genuinely appreciative up here in Detroit of how Dan has approached this thing and his honesty and passion. And that's what a lot of fans have, obviously, right? They have passion for this team. That's why they've supported it for 60 years, even though they haven't won anything. So, yeah, they, you know, people seem to like Dan. They seem to like the direction of the organization. They like the draft capital that Brad Holmes has gone out and acquired. But again, you know, they need to win some games. And if that doesn't happen soon, certainly people are going to get antsy. I think they do have a little bit of a cushion here because no one expects them to be great this fall. But before long, those wins have to come. Otherwise, the leash will get short.
It is interesting because a lot of teams don't do this. A lot of teams don't be honest. They kind of tease you with some key players, and you think maybe there might be hope. But then in the end, they are just going to start building. The Lions have been pretty upfront. This is what we're going to be doing. So it's why Dan Campbell got a nice long deal, because he knows it's going to be a longer haul.
Right. No, you're right about that. And you know, especially given the look, I think, you know, when Brad and Dan were hired, you know, neither one of them knew right away. I mean, when they came in for their first interviews, at least let's say that they didn't know, you know, Matthew Stafford's situation and that he was going to be traded and how that was going to add to it. Now, you know, certainly they were apprised of that before taking the jobs, accepting the jobs. But yeah, it's I don't think anyone expects this thing to happen overnight. But as I said up top, you know, you sort of look around the division, right? And this may sound like an excuse, but it's reality. For the past 30 years, the Green Bay Packers have had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. And it's tough to have sustainable success in a division when you're fighting against that every week. And obviously this could be Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay. And if that's the case, you know, the NFC North becomes wide open for whatever team nails the quarterback position next, right? Maybe it's Jordan Love in Green Bay. Maybe it's Justin Fields in Chicago. Maybe it's the Lions and whoever they, you know, pick to be their leader at that position. And so I do think there's an opportunity here, at least for this regime, to get the Lions on the right track.
Dave Burkett again, Detroit Free Press. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Talk to you again.
You got it. Dave Burkett, great stuff on the Lions. I mean, listen, we talk about this all the time. There's going to be really good teams that are important and have a presence and a chance to win a Super Bowl and all of that. And then we're going to preview teams like this where there is still storylines to this team, right? He's right. Look, this was all up front. Dan Campbell got a six-year contract, right? Six-year contract. Because the Lions know, hey, Matt Patricia out, right? We're going to be dumping everything. Here comes a new general manager. Here comes a new head coach. And gone, Matt Stafford. We're going to find a new quarterback down the road. We're going to build this up. But he really makes a good point. Look at the division, right, that has been dominated for so long by one team with two of the best quarterbacks to have ever played the game. And now, if that's the case where Aaron Rodgers is done and this is his final year, he's right. Think of it now becoming open, and if the Lions nail the quarterback position, whoever gets that job, whoever they draft and take over that job, then the acceleration of the process has to happen because the window is open. Right. And that's a really interesting way to look at it, because a lot of these teams go, well, we'll take 3 or 4 years. Well, sometimes you don't have 3 or 4 years because the window may open sooner than that. And the window is going to open up in that division pretty quickly once Aaron Rodgers decides he's no longer a Green Bay Packer. All right. We're coming back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, thanks to Dave Burkett, Detroit Free Press. Let's be honest, most of us will only catch the Lions if they're playing locally or on Thanksgiving Day. They're not going to be very good this year. Too bad. 12 years with Matt Stafford, 3 playoff appearances and no wins. I hate to say it, but that's a failure.
Yeah.
That's now, a failure.
But, I mean, do we point the finger at Stafford for that?
Some has got to go. Like he said, some has to go to the quarterback and some has to go to the organization.
Right.
Like, sometimes as a quarterback, you are paid a lot of money to be better than the anticipation, right? So, if, like, you come in to a season where they're like, well, the star wide receiver suffered a turned ankle. He's going to miss 10 weeks. You're still supposed to be, all right, but I can still squeeze out just a few more wins than you think we can.
Well, not only that, but when you look at it, he had a Hall of Fame wide receiver with him.
He did.
You know, we just saw him get inducted.
Nothing.
So, yeah, I mean, and they did work well together.
I feel like with Stafford, every time I've done one of these previews over the last few years since Stafford's arrived, everyone was like, this could be the year. This could be a surprise.
Right.
And then after a while, they just went, you know, I'm done saying this is going to be the year. It's not going to be the year. No. They're not good. And this quarterback he's going to throw some touchdowns and he's going to have some fourth quarter moments and then he's going to throw picks. And that's what he's going to do. And we're not going to win games, enough games to be an important factor in the division with Aaron Rodgers in it. So that's it. And they're right. They're absolutely right. But I'm glad to know, because you and I like Dan Campbell a lot, and I'm glad to know Dan Campbell is as funny and cool and good quotes during the weekday sessions with the local reporters as he is when we get the national sound bites. So I'm glad Dan Campbell's working out. I didn't realize that he was on the team that went 0-16 in Detroit.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Until I read that, I went, that's great. Because he can say to the Lions fans, I know what it's like to be lousy, and I'm not going to be lousy as for long. We will struggle, but I am trying to get out of being lousy.
I mean, do you think he goes in there and is like, oh, you think this is bad?
Right. Yeah, every one of them. He has that over his team.
He does.
It's like, don't you think I don't know what a 3-game losing? I lost 16 in a row, folks. So don't hang your head that we lost 3 in a row. We can pop it back up again. Man. But I got to reiterate. I liked what he said about, think about this. If you're a Lions fan and you're like, okay, we're rebuilding. It's going to take a couple years. I got it. But then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers has gone from Green Bay. And you're like, wait a minute, stop. How fast can we put a team together? Because, you know, hey, look, Chicago's going to be dealing with, you know, a quarterback as Justin Fields takes over that job. They don't really like Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. And Jordan Love, we'll see. There's an opening here. Like, we're not going to concede this division to any one of these three teams, no matter what happens with these quarterbacks. No, we're going to have to try to find a guy that's going to be good enough so we can play in the sandbox with all these other three teams that have got some question marks. But yeah, right. As long as Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, you might as well just take two steps back and build the franchise for when that happens, that the two split and there's an opening there where Jordan Love takes the team. Now, maybe Jordan Love becomes the third straight best ever quarterback to play in the NFL, right? And then and the Packers fans ride into the sunset with just quarterback bliss for two generations. But if that isn't the case and you're the Lions, you can't play building mode for very long if the division is open, right? You can't do that. Look, that's why I give credit to Sean McDermott in Buffalo, right? Let's all be honest with this about Buffalo. Buffalo, and remember how a couple of years ago I used to scream like, hey, shame on Miami and the Jets and the Bills for letting the Patriots just constantly win that division for 20 years. When the Patriots lost Tom Brady and were down, the Bills went 13-3 and said, you know what? Not only are we 13-3, we are going to be the second best team in the AFC with an eye on the top prize. Good. If you see an opening, take it. And the Lions may take a while to take it. So that's our preview of the Lions. We got another hour coming up on Wake Up Call as we continue. Sportsmap Radio.